And as we gently fade down the big band music show for today, it is WHFR Dearborn. We're broadcasting live from Henry Ford Community College for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. Hi, how you doing out there? A little wet in Dearborn, cold today. If you're listening live from 1 to 2 today, that's the weather. I'm not going to go into any further details. Just go outside, take a look. And my dogs this morning were not happy. They don't like rain, they don't like cold weather, and they don't like to go outside then, but that's dogs for you. People, luckily, can adjust. We have a way of adapting. And on the dog topic, our first story is going to be about the Dearborn Animal Shelter, but I'd also like to introduce, besides our special guest, who is with us to talk about the Dearborn Animal Shelter situation, my other two co-hosts for the show in the studio today are Amy Powers, our new news director here at WHFR.
Thank you very much.
So you can only do
Dennis and Jay.
Yeah. Dennis is here too. He's the former news director.
Yeah, I lost the arm wrestle.
Yeah. But he is now a WHFR promotions coordinator. So,
yay! Take that, Amy.
Go WHFR. Yeah, let's start promoting.
Promoting.
Of course, neither one of them are getting paid for either one of those things, but
they're doing
a great job. You're not being paid, Dennis.
But I did get the big office.
That is the only payment I need, that I'm doing a good job.
Yes, that's it.
That's a break.
That's good. And it's certainly good for all the volunteers, bad segue, at the Dearborn Animal Shelter, which is run by the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, a volunteer group under contract to the city. Sandy Bolton is here from the Dearborn Animal Shelter this morning. Welcome, Sandy. This is the mic check time. I think you're on. Tell us just about yourself and how long you've been doing this so-called PR job.
Well, thank you very much for having us here today. We appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to talk to your audience here on WHFR. It's been actually a very interesting journey with the Dearborn Animal Shelter. I've been a part of the organization, working with them in their marketing and public relations for approximately four and a half years now. And in the midst of what was a little bit of a media feeding frenzy in July of last summer, we had these funny little visitors that some of you may be familiar with. There are about 105 little chihuahuas that were rescued from a Dearborn home.
Incredible story. It was really
a sensational time for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and it was in that window that I became their PR spokesperson, largely because everybody else was too darn busy, frankly, taking care of dogs. Yeah. And the good news is that the media was so very gracious and kind to help the Dearborn Animal Shelter, because it was actually the second of what was three hoarding cases that occurred to the shelter in a 45-day window, doubling the population of animals. And it meant that we were very upside down financially in a short window of time. And I became their PR spokesperson then.
Right. And are you writing press releases, too, as part of that?
Or? Yes, indeed. I do lend a hand to that. But fortunately, we do have some volunteers with the shelter as well that are more skilled than I at writing press releases. And I try to help get pick up forward and try to encourage people to help us share the word from the
Probably
Dearborn Animal
coordinate
Shelter.
Probably coordinate some of the website stories, too, of course.
Very much
That's very
so.
Important.
Yes, it is.
The emails and so on.
The Animal Shelter's website enjoys about 30,000 unique impressions every month, and there are many people, of course, that are then trafficking through looking for animals.
Right, yeah.
And that's our primary tool for introducing an adoptable pet to somebody is visiting us at DearbornAnimals.org.
DearbornAnimals.org, folks. We mentioned that before. Well, last week, of course, we mentioned the story, which was late-breaking at that point. In fact, it must have come up just within a couple of days, and that is that the rodent problems, which are all through Dearborn and Dearborn Heights on a regular basis, which is why we're so concerned about our trash barrels and trash collection and proper, security for those things, because it'll only help the rat. But the rat population got higher than normal, I guess, or the evidence of it at least. And so the main building, is that true? The main building you had been using had to be vacated for a week. We
yes.
just want to know what the status is there. We didn't fill in totally last week, but apparently the cats didn't have to move, that they were in the separate trailer that was, I think it says donated by someone too. Someone's name is on that was actually in the parking lot.
There are what we refer to as cat community centers. They call them the triple C's in the Dearborn Animal Shelter speak. We all have to have our lingo.
Absolutely.
Exactly. The cats are really good at it, too. They purr in triple C code. It's really cool. But the triple C's are where there are cats that reside in what are basically a pseudo-home environment, where they roam cageless. And it really is where they excel the best. So it's a socialization way for cats to actually express who they are. They're very playful. They love to be with other cats and humans. And when they're in a cage, they really do not present themselves as their real personality. And they're harder for people to get a sense of, is this cat really a good fit for me in my home? And the cat community centers are actually a leading edge concept in the animal sheltering industry. And our Dearborn Animal Shelter here, you have a great deal to be proud of, is one of the few in Michigan that has them.
And the dogs that were in the facilities, were some of them moved next door to of the DPW buildings?
That's correct. Fortunately, the graces of the city of Dearborn helped right away in assisting. The same facility that they opened up to the Dearborn Animal Shelter for storage during the Chihuahua rescue, because everything that we had that was storage became, condominiums for Chihuahuas. That meant that all of the storage, food and blankets and all kinds of supplies needed to get out of the building.
So they were sort of dog ready.
Yes, and so that there's a building that is immediately north of the Dearborn Animal Shelter building. It's less than a 9-iron. It's really a pitching wedge over the fence, and that is the facility where the dogs have been moved into, and there are cats that are in the facility as well that have it's a little separated area, of course, because the cats and the dogs don't like to be sitting right next to each other on a daily basis.
Not usually.
Yes, there are some cats that do not live in the cat community centers, and there are four trailers that are those cat community centers that are adjacent to the main building, and they're not affected by the situation.
Four trailers. So, gee, when I was there a month or two ago, I thought I only saw one in the front parking lot. There must have been some off to the side or something.
That's a human trailer, actually.
Well,
we store humans
sorry.
In there. It's,
well, they got to be something.
Yeah, humans per trailer. Yeah. That's right.
Because they don't act well in a caged environment either.
No. Well, we prefer to cage them, but they get out on occasion, and we put them in the admin trailer, and that's what that trailer is.
Oh,
it's where the executive team gathers their meetings, and their administrative, getting the controller, that sort of thing. People that are in and out of taking care of the operation of the building and the Friends for the Deer Memorial Shelter, but not immediately caring for the animals. That staff is inside that building with the animals.
Because the way the stories were written, it looked like the city of Dearborn also gave you another trailer or another facility for administrative use in the temporarily.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. What they brought in, it's a mobile unit, and it's been used before by the city of Dearborn in situations where people are displaced that are a part of the city organization. And it's a little bit smaller than the admin trailer that we use, but there is key staff that take care of the animals that are typically in the building with the animals. So and they handle adoptions and process paperwork and that sort of thing. And they are in that mobile unit.
Okay. One of the things we said last week, and again, the stories seem to be somewhat less than what's in the paper this week, is that the fumigation or the removal of the rat issues or the reduction of the rat problems, anyway, would take a week. But in fact, it's going to take a couple of weeks before you can move back in.
That's true. And the reason isn't just, it's not simple. There are, it's a very old warehouse building. And in addition to it being sort of like a storage area in the back that is converted for where animals are cared for, there are old drop ceilings in there and nooks and crannies that they needed to have someone go in and remove those drop ceilings and actually get the building prepped before any of the extermination could even take place. And so that, you know, in best laid plans, things never work out exactly in the short time frame you think. No. So it'll probably be about another week.
It was a little surprising to me, and maybe some people don't know this, but, you know, rats, just like the raccoon that was in my attic a couple of weeks ago here in Dearborn, that the rats were suspected of being in the drop ceiling.
Yes.
Too. So they're not just on the ground or in your basement. Any place they can get to.
They're ambitious little critters, and
that's a good way to put it.
Wow.
They're very difficult.
Somebody that's around animals, very ambitious.
Yeah. And it's not fair. I mean, our animals are in cages, and when you think about it, their little rodent, companions coming through there. Can actually get in and out of those cages. It's not healthy. It's not safe. So we had to get the animal out of the
not
shelter.
Not to mention the humans that are in that facility. In fact, there's one of the Dearborn paper, I think it's Press and Guide, their cartoonist, showed that little ironic thing as the cats and dogs are in the cages and the rats are just staring at them. You know, they're not in cages. So in a couple of weeks, then it might be freed up. What's the financial consequences of all this?
I don't know the answer to that, and truly not just because I'm the PR spokesperson. They don't allow me to know such a thing, but I think they're unsure because they're still going through the process of getting the building prepped in order for the extermination to take place. And then while that's happened, on the other end, they're going to have to clean up. Mm-hmm. And the shelter director would very, very much like if while that building happens to be empty, which it never is, it has live animals in it, of course, 24/7, she'd like to get it cleaned up a little bit and maybe painted inside. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it...
As long as it's open and available,
If it's able to do that, it certainly makes sense. So if she can find someone to help out with that process as well, she would like that.
The rat problem is being addressed because the city of Dearborn still owns the building
even though
you folks have a contract to operate the shelter. So the getting the rats out, that part of the problem, and any minor needed repairs related to the rats, the city is probably going to cover the cost.
Yeah, they're diligently caring for it. And as much as it seems a simple process, and just like any business, the Dearborn Animal Shelter has an exterminator that's on monthly contract with them because any large business would do the same. They but they're usually doing extermination in the evening when the office building is closed. So in this case, they were caring for them to try to do their best to keep a handle on it, and they noticed that there was an increase in animals. Our rodent says it would appear that they needed to do something a little more drastic, and they could spot remove them. But frankly, they knew they needed to more deeply exterminate, and you can't do that when the animals are in there 24/7. There's no downtime in the shelter ever.
Yeah. We're going to wrap up with you, but we've been talking to Sandy Bolton here, who's PR director for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, actually the Friends of the Animal Shelter here in Dearborn, the organization, the wonderful volunteer organization, so many volunteers with the organization. A few people are paid, and rightly so. It's just a really well-run place. I commented on the air when I came to donate some cat food I had. from one of my cats passed away a couple of months ago. This was about a month or two ago, how crowded that main facility was, though.
It is.
I've never seen it that crowded. I mean, with volunteers, too, so
right.
Humans are there trying to help. And I know it's premature, but and maybe it shouldn't be, or maybe you just don't know. Why haven't we started an official fundraising campaign for a new facility? Are we waiting for an initial seed money grant? Because it is going to be, last time I checked, between $6 and $10 million.
There are a variety of estimates on that, and the Dearborn Animal Shelter has had some work preliminary done that if they were to build the building from the ground up and have a green building, what would that be like? What's involved in doing that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then what's involved in a build out of an existing building if it were to be donated, for example? And yes, indeed, there will be a public launch to the capital campaign, which is already underway for that very reason, because the facility is not only very old that they are using as the shelter facility now, but it's not only outdated, it's not appointed appropriately for an animal shelter, and one today that's as forward thinking as the Dearborn Animal Shelter is. There are things that they simply want to do. They want to have treadmills available for the dogs if they can't take them out in inclement weather to walk them.
Sure,
they
want to
have training facilities.
Yeah, absolutely.
They want to be able to offer boarding. There are lots of things that they could be doing, which could be a revenue center if you think of it right.
Yeah.
So the facility is short of what it could be doing, and they get overcrowded very quickly.
There's supposedly some land that the city donated, which is back behind the court buildings and just east of the Amtrak station. That doesn't look like a very large plot of land, from my estimation,
sure.
Even compared to what your present facility floor space is.
It is an appropriate size piece of land, as far as I understand.
Okay.
But I think they're looking at other options as well.
Yeah.
And really, our fingers crossed that the capital campaign gets underway in a public fashion. I would say in the next couple of months, because the goal is absolutely to get them into a new facility.
I was thinking, and maybe this was the reason, besides having the question of, you know, if you had a big grant or a matching grant from
yes.
a company, it's just not a time for a business like even Ford Motor Company maybe to make that offer. But you should, folks, if anybody's listening
exactly.
over there. And Ford Land, they must have some land, right, in Dearborn. And we all love Ford, especially when they give back to the community, right? In any event, you don't want to take away from the needed operating funds, too. A big campaign for $6 million. People say, well, I gave to the new facility. Well, present facility is falling apart, or we just can't handle the animals. And so I know that's a problem. I've become, and I'm not bragging about this, but I've become a monthly donor, which you folks are able to set up a way so that every month, whatever it is, $10, $20 on a regular basis, at least that's money you can sort of count on,
rather than
knowing, whoa, we got a lot of money this month, and next month we don't know. We don't know what we'll do. You've got to have at least a secure a foundation for anything you're going to do if you got to make plans for the next couple of months. Although you folks always do a wonderful job with so many wonderful fundraising events and special events in the community, I know that's essential. We know that here at WHFR and other nonprofit organizations. So.
No, and I think, did you mention earlier there's one coming up?
There is. Thank you for the segue. And a couple zeros in your keystroking on that monthly donation. It'll be the Jay Cornick Animal Shelter, by the way. We'd be happy to have that.
Well, that
just
sounds
a couple
nice.
Zeros?
Just
about
a couple
six
extra
zeros,
zeros
I think.
On
yeah,
there, Jay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay.
I think that'd be a nice legacy.
Yeah, exactly. We'd be happy to do that.
I'm a retired person, you know. on a fixed income.
Listen to the backpedaling.
I know. I see that.
I already donate.
Scooting right across the floor.
Let me say about that. It does make you feel awfully good to know that you're a consistent supporter, even if the amount is relatively meager. And it doesn't quite hurt. Like if you're on a fixed income, it might be very hard to give a couple hundred dollars all at once, because that's not there for that month. But if it's $10 a month or 20 or more, whatever fits into your budget, that's really a great thing to do. And it's in the security of that is even better than a one-time big chunk, because again, you've been able to plan what's coming. Well, tell us. I think it's Mutt Strut coming up.
Thank you.
Right?
Yes, indeed. Okay. The fifth annual Mutt Strut and Pet Expo takes place next Saturday and Sunday, May 15th and 16th. And it's a really great event. And, of course, Saturday is the actual mutt strut, where you come and you leash up your pup and you go for a walk for 2 miles with your family and friends. And the minimum pledge is $25 to walk a dog. But humans walk for free. So we figured that works out just great. And the concept is, of course, to come out and celebrate animals. And
where is it going to be?
It takes place at Ford Field Park. We like to define that. All of us listening here in Dearborn know where Ford Field is. That's the one over by Cherry Hill, not downtown. It's in Ford Field Park that it starts, and the walk takes place westbound first on Garrison, and then comes back east on Garrison. So it's about a 2-mile loop. And then there are festivities all weekend long, Saturday and Sunday. There's For Angels reading program, and there's this fabulous former Detroit Tiger Milt Wilcox.
Down on the big field, or using one of the shelters?
It'll take place through the whole facility, depending on the number of vendors that we have, because Milt Wilcox's Ultimate Air Dogs, their dock diving competition takes place both days, and it's a very large pool. It takes a lot of area.
So the family is encouraged to come out, whether they strut their dog or not.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really fun to watch.
Is it only dogs?
Dog-oriented. Cats
event.
Are not really, happy to come down
strut.
On the leash
no,
and strut
not
like that.
Strut,
and they're not often called mutts.
Plus, right, they're running all over the place on their own anyway.
Exactly. So they have a mind of their own. They swat the dogs when they walk by. So,
I get the idea. But it's going to be a multifaceted event.
Absolutely.
What are the hours on next weekend, folks? May 15th and 16th at so-called Ford Field, but right here in Dearborn. If you haven't been there, you probably know Monroe Street, the Historical Museum on one side at Michigan Avenue, and Dearborn Music on the other. Just go north on Monroe Street, and you'll run in a couple of blocks right into the Ford Field area. And there's parking there free at this point in time, I believe.
Yes,
so
it is.
It's a wonderful recreational facility, and we're always there as part of, and you folks too, usually Dearborn Homecoming in the first weekend in August.
Yeah, it's a great time. It's 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. both days, Saturday and Sunday, and there are exhibitors. There's going to be a pet fashion show. There's one of the things that we're doing new this year, because we'll hopefully have as many returning as possible. A Chihuahua reunion from the Rescue Chihuahuas on Sunday afternoon. Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Sweet. Yeah, it was a fun idea to honor, of course, those families that opened up their homes to these little guys.
So, for more information about Mutt Strut or supporting the Dearborn Animal Shelter, DearbornAnimals.org is the website. A lot of information there, always updated frequently. Great pictures of animals to be adopted, and information about Mutt Strut. Give us your phone number too, if people are phone oriented.
Absolutely, you can still use that bell apparatus to reach us. It's area code 313-943-2697.
943-2697, Dearborn Animal Shelter. They need your support, folks, if you haven't considered that. And if you are considering adopting a pet, by all means, go and see them. Talk to them. They have, pet adoption counselors, and they can work with your family situation. And even if you want something, I believe, other than a cat or a dog, too, the foster homes that are, what are they called, rescue homes or whatever, handle other kinds of pets. I mentioned last week my daughter had parrot.
Yeah, you like ferrets, don't you? That's a great expression for you there, Jay.
And we had a guinea pig, too, for a while, but it was so scared. It was just always hiding. They're so shy or whatever. And
still be in your house. Well,
I'm afraid I'm such a softheart. I feel sorry for fish, because they're trapped in that glassed area, if they were in the ocean, they'd die probably or get eaten. But if they could go anywhere they want to, and then before they die. And I don't like to see animals shut up in small places as such. But you guys, we've been covering many events, and we want to do that. A wonderful local organization. Volunteers are always needed for all kinds of things that are going on there. And if people are thinking about pets or wondering about pets or want to adopt a pet, they should get in touch right away. And that the Mutt Strut might be a great introduction, just for the fun of coming and attending and talking to all the different vendors and things.
Awesome. So too, you become familiar with people that are, pet sitters and veterinarians, and tips for caring for your animals. It's a great opportunity if you're considering bringing a pet into your home to come and learn about how to do that well and be a good pet responsible pet owner.
Sandy Bolton, PR Director of Dearborn Animal Shelter, thank you so much for being with us today on the Journal, and we'll be in touch and maybe see you at Mutt Strut.
We'd love that. Come see us.
We're going to take just a break right now with one of the – we usually do a couple of commentaries from Jim Hightower, our friendly national populist. So take a listen to this. He suggests that maybe we could form a beer party. This is WHFR, the station making waves, WHFR.fm.
Would you have tea with me? I'm talking to you authentic teabag folks, those who are not corporate-funded Republican Party spinoffs, and those whose minds are not nailed shut by a simplistic anti-government laissez-fairyland ideology. Let's talk. You Tea Partiers who are fed up with Washington and the leaders of both political parties? Hey, count me in! And the target of our anger doesn't stop there, does it? Politicians are the face of our problems, but we all know that behind those faces is the real power that's stomping on us. Wall Street banksters, corporate downsizers, the 13,000 corporate lobbyists swarming our government, and the political consultants and media yakkers who exist only to segment and divide us. Let's talk about it all. The whole corrupt insider system of moneyed elites who are systematically destroying the middle class and perverting the political process to shut out the voices of America's workaday majority. Let's discuss this big theft. But most importantly, let's figure out what to do about it. Whether you call yourself conservative or progressive, what can we do together to decentralize and democratize our country's economic and political power? Putting America back on its historic mission of trying to build a nation of, by, and for the people. Another organization has suddenly sprouted across the country that might help get us together. It's called the Coffee Party. Not meant to counter the Tea Party, but to engage it positively. Check it out at coffeepartyusa.org. This is Jim Hightower saying, who knows, maybe we can all merge into a beer party. Beverage preferences aside, the important thing is for ordinary grassroots Americans to reach across false divides, see what it is that we have in common, and start acting like the bosses of our government, our society, and our mutual destiny. That's what it really means to be an American.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publishers of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
Okay, more beer, right? Is that what we want? You know, Tea Party sounds so, I shouldn't say effeminate, that sounds sexist, but it sounds so delicate. And as we know from some of the national outrages, the Tea Party meetings are not always very delicate.
No.
talk about bulls in a china shop, in fact. Of course, hopefully political discourse can be somewhat more responsible and balanced and so, we'll see what happens with that. But the beer party suggestion for people who really are in favor of democracy, that is, you know, the Tea Party itself, and this is forgotten by some of the Tea Party people, the original Tea Party, pre-American Revolution times, was not against taxing. It was against taxation without representation.
Absolutely.
And if you remember your high school classes in history at all, folks, they drilled that into your head. That was the reason for the Tea Party, taxation without representation, because sometimes you need taxes. And if you collectively understand the need for government programs and you agree with them, then the majority gets their way and they vote to give taxes. And yes, they vote for everybody, therefore, because that's how you do it in a democracy. The majority wins until a better idea comes up and the majority can be convinced to do something else. So you can't be anti-tax. You have to be anti-taxation without representation. And that's, Jim Hightower and others are very concerned that the people in Congress are not representing the people of the United States very much. The Tea Party doesn't represent the majority of people in the U.S. It's not really even a party, a political party as such. Well, we're expecting a phone call with another special guest in just a couple minutes, and I'll leave the surprise for that moment. Some of the stories that we'd like to cover maybe in 5 minutes here, I can do this. I wanted to balance out a story we read last week about Dearborn Police Chief Haddad, that there were some folks that criticized him anonymously. Supposedly people on the police force, and nominated him for worst police chief of the year in Michigan. Just want to say, read it for yourself. I said that's totally unfair, and I didn't think it should have been printed in the paper, those comments. But nonetheless, word gets out, and you've got to have a whatever story there is. Chief Haddad did dispute all of the criticisms in that interview, so he got his chance to dispute them. But he's been just appointed to a National Security Board, Homeland Security Advisory Council, and that's quite an honor and a privilege and a tremendous responsibility, and that means that he has to travel to Washington, D.C. A couple times a year. At least he was there in April with his fellow council members. So he is recognized nationally as an important contributor to the question about how do we achieve national security. In addition, a letter to the editor came in. I might read some of it here. Good grief. After reading the front page article in Wednesday's Press and Guide, April 28th, regarding Chief Haddad, I'm thinking some officers have a problem with him. Of course, calling him out, referring to him as stupid and short on ethics, goes a long way towards resolving any conflict. Not really, of course. It reminds me of the senator who, during hearings on health care reform in Washington, D.C., shouted out, liar, while President Barack Obama was speaking. Most people who watched that spectacle were not impressed. Whatever happened to respect for your commanding officer, regardless of how a person feels about them personally? Respect. It doesn't mean you have to agree. Doesn't mean you have to stop arguing your case in the formal means that we have to do so, and some legal means to do so outside of the system, even like civil protest of one sort or another, and giving speeches to radio stations or TV stations or whatever. That's all legal. But, name-calling, especially from anonymous people, as it's implied here in this letter, is not really an appropriate way to do. This letter, by the way, in the Press and Guide from last Sunday, May 2nd, is from Paula Hamilton Stokes, and she says that she was an elected charter commissioner. I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, but that was a group of about 15 or 20 people, a dozen people at least, who helped look at the Dearborn Charter and make recommendations. So she has been elected here in Dearborn. A lot of people know of Paula Hamilton-Stokes. Sorry, I didn't recognize your name. But she says she knows how hard our officers work and the inherent danger they face every day. She says, I am of a different generation than most current police officers, so maybe this is how conflict is resolved nowadays, with no respect, each man, woman for themselves. Well, I certainly hope not. By the way, the opinions expressed in the show are not necessarily those of anyone else at Henry Ford Community College. And she concludes by saying, when I challenge someone, and believe me, I do, they know who they are talking to and may call me by name or stupid, if that's their choice. Sincere people looking to make things better don't hide behind the moniker, quote, concerned Dearborn police officers. Of course, if you are a whistleblower, there's always a concern there that you may be getting sanctions against you, which might be legal, and you're assigned to the cleanup duty or something, which are kind of legal, and then they'd have to sue in court. And so whistleblowers, if they are justified, know that it's tough to do that, even though there are ways to protect them, and they will get a day in court if they have been unfairly punished for speaking out. But it's nonetheless,
a lot of courage. Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It should be done, if mm-hmm. and put your name on it. What the heck?
Right.
That's what I think. So there you go.
All right.
Hey, Jay and I agreed on something.
Well, how often does that happen, Dennis?
Well,
okay.
It's 2012.
short stories we have to do here as we're waiting for a phone call in the next couple of minutes. Cleanup parades begin.
How exciting.
In May cleanup parades. I was in a cleanup parade when I was young.
Really?
In Detroit.
Okay.
You know what consequences that had. No. But
you left too soon.
I'd almost like to ask people if they want to look it up on Wikipedia. When did cleanup parade start? Is it only a Michigan thing? And, the kids from, especially the elementary schools, they somehow, I don't know, they paint pictures of a beautiful world or something, and they march around holding them up for the residents of the streets to see. And the mayors are usually
attending. Contagious, too. I don't know, Amy, if you've seen that. It's contagious.
It's contagious, but all I can think of, we have a cleanup parade at our house every week, so,
We're
not taking it to the streets, but we are doing our part at our own house.
You have like 20 kids.
Exactly.
No, seriously, when my daughter was in elementary school, my son too, they used to walk right by the house, and I felt bad if my house wasn't already clean. Isn't that kind of weird?
I'm one of those. Send them out to do something.
No, it would be me cleaning it up, and then the kids. Yeah, you're funny. All right. Well, All right.
Okay, we'll see if we're on the line with Sally Edwards. Ooh, are we getting my voice coming back again? Sally, is that bothering you?
It is. Would you like me to call in on another telephone?
Yeah, maybe we should try that. Okay, so we'll be back on the line with Sally Edwards from a different phone. We're getting, and I love my voice, but when you hear it twice in the same second, you know.
Really? It's disconcerting.
A little bit. Could you guys hear that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so we'll try to get here. What's happening, folks, I'll give you the background here. Sally Edwards is one of the prime movers and spokespersons for a triathlon. How often does that happen in Michigan? That's biking, running, and swimming, one after the other.
In the same day?
In the same day, in the same race. And it's going to happen in...
I think it's July.
July 18th. July 18th, right,
wow.
In Monroe in Sterling State Park. And here comes the call again. Let's see if we're...
I was looking that up. It's I'm sure Sally will talk more about it, but it's a half-mile swim.
Radio. Okay.
It's a...
Hey, Sally, sounds great. I'll put you right on. Hang on.
Oh, hold on.
Maybe she knows.
We'll hear from the source.
Yeah. It'll be accurate this way.
Okay. I think we're on the line with Sally Edwards. Hi, Sally.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, much better.
Yeah, we're in the... Yeah, it sounds crystal clear. Thank you.
Wow.
We're talking to Sally Edwards, who is spokesperson and triathlon athlete yourself. And we're lucky to get you on the line with us because it's kind of special. We don't usually hear about triathlons in Michigan. Now, this is one only for women, which makes it even more special. So it may be the first women-only triathlon to be scheduled for Michigan. As we just mentioned, as you were getting to another phone, that event is coming up Sunday, June 18th in Sterling State Park in Monroe, Michigan.
June or July?
Is it July?
It's July. Did I say June? Okay, July 18th. And so we want to talk to you just briefly about that and also mention, if people are interested too, at the outset here, that next Wednesday, I believe, May 12th, there's going to be a sort of a training session of one sort or another, information session in Royal Oak, which is only about 10 miles from us, and that's free. And you're going to be there, and other folks too. And that's going to be at the Trek Bicycle Store of Royal Oak. It's called American Cycle and Fitness on Woodward Avenue in Royal Oak. So we'll mention both of those events again. But maybe you could explain, first of all, why women only?
Sure.
Okay. Why is the event women only?
Well, there's a can you hear me okay?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, there's a phenomenon, I think it really is special to women that we have this kind of, I don't know, you might call it fear or apprehension or anxiety about having to go hard or bumping into somebody or, and there's a kind of a fun social aspect. It's not like a race where you're going to go out and just try to, you know, beat the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, this is a celebration of fitness and health and getting in shape and finding that woman that you really always, I call her the inner athlete, but it's the woman who really wants to be fit and healthy and connecting with her and doing something a little bit outside the comfort zone. And
mm-hmm.
I volunteer to finish last in every race, and I'm a professional triathlete, so it's kind of a hard place not to go fast, but by finishing last, no other woman has to. And so it really helps with that fear and anxiety and that concern to do a half-mile swim and a 12-mile bike and a 3.1-mile 5K. It's as much a walk as it is a run at that point for many of our gals.
Yeah, I can certainly understand first of all, that it's a major physical challenge, and it's great to have those sort of goals for yourself if you're at that level of competition. I'm a senior citizen myself, and I'm lucky to force myself to do 45 minutes a day of walking alone, but it's something. But getting ready, giving yourself a goal for your own personal exercise, but maybe to get out there and show people that it can be done too, is a great inspiration. And we all need, you know, good serious exercise and of course support. We've just finished in Dearborn and all around the country at different times and different months. I think the Relay for Life, which is a 2-day event where people are walking and or running, not in a single time frame, but during a couple of days. I think it's a 24-hour period over 2 days to help support cancer treatment awareness and cancers, and to commend the cancer survivors and the struggle that they've had. Let's mention that this is the Trek Women Triathlon series, and the event here in Michigan is going to be again on July 18th, and we are talking to Sally Edwards about this. Express for me the connections with various nonprofits. It looks like there is a Breast Cancer Research Foundation that also benefits from this happening.
Yeah, there are two different nonprofits that are the recipients and charities of the event. One is defined a cure for cancer, which is the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, and the second is Team Survivor. These are women who survive cancer that are all over the country that train. And one of the known facts about cancer is that those people who eat a good diet and exercise their quality of their life after they've had cancer. So we really want to take care of them and have them have a better life, and Team Survivor is just a support group for women that want to exercise and do things like, you know, do a triathlon. And, you know, it's not that hard. And if your listeners come to the Trek store on
next Wednesday, the 12th.
Yeah, Wednesday. I'd be glad to. I'm not going to only provide them with a training plan. That's what to do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. But it's going to be a party with food and a celebration, and they're going to learn about all the equipment they need and maybe meet a training partner, someone just like them that's just getting started.
Sure, that sounds great. And does say here, I'm looking at the press release on it, no need to RSVP, to show up and have fun. It's at 6:30 p.m. next Wednesday at American Cycle and Fitness, the Trek Bike Store in Royal Oak on Woodward Avenue, not in the so-called Main Street or downtown of Royal Oak as we know it, but Woodward Avenue is part of Royal Oak too, folks. So must be somewhere on Woodward and 10 Mile. I'm just guessing whether it's north or south.
No, a little north of
For
12.
The north? Really, the north of 12. Okay. We have our Royal Oak knowledgeable people here. Amy lives. Amy Powers, our news director, is here with us, too. So are you going to run in this, Amy?
I'll certainly think about it. It sure sounds like a great triathlon.
Amy, have you ever done a triathlon?
No, I've never even done a little, you know, marathon or anything. Not a half marathon, not a 5K.
Yeah?
No.
But she's spunky. You never know.
That's
and
right.
And there are relays,
spunky.
So spunky. One of the best ways to get
relays.
Started
okay.
is to do, which of the three is your favorite, Amy?
Biking, running, or swimming?
I do a lot of biking.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay, so you can put together one or two other women that may be better at the other activities than you are, and you've got
like a scramble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next year you can do the whole thing.
And where is the swimming?
The swimming is, let me look.
Well, it's Sterling State Park, and they must have a small lake or a river. I mean, I know of the Raisin River, and when I was talking to Mr. Kinsella about this, he told me where the swimming was, but it wasn't the Raisin River.
No, it takes place in Lake Erie. Parallel swim along the beach.
Okay. Huh. Yes, they're going to clean that up just for the event. No, it's a bad joke here. At one point, they thought Lake Erie was dead. That was about 10 years ago because of pollution, and it has bounced back, or whatever a lake does, to come back into life pretty well after we stopped polluting it as much as we were. But
it'll
be great. Yes,
the biking. The bike is flat, so that'll be fast.
So it's not up and down mountains. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the run is inside the park, so you don't have to deal with cars and some of those issues.
But the running
a beautiful course.
The running is 12 miles, you
said? 3.1 or 5K?
It's a 5K, right yeah.
So it's a 5K.
Sprint, what's called sprint distance.
Yeah. Oh.
Maybe for you.
Yeah, everything's relative.
Our first place woman finishes the half-mile swim, the 12-mile bike, and the 5K in right around 1 hour.
Really?
And I'm the last, since I volunteered for last, I finished about 3.5 hours. So somewhere in between there is where
everybody else. I'll be giving her competition.
Now, is this the same sort of challenge at other triathlons? And again, I know for you and for this series of events, the whole idea is to get people out and participate and again, sort of breaking down barriers for women too. And just doing it is the important thing. And it's very spiritual, actually, in terms of what it can accomplish. Mm-hmm. But the usual triathlons are usually at a greater length for running, biking, and swimming?
Yeah, there actually are four different lengths just that are part of the sport. all the way from sprints up to ultra, what are called ultras in triathlon. Mm,
or extreme sort of.
Yeah, those that can go for multiple days even, people do triathlon. So is really, if you want to get started, the best way to get started, to have an experience and have a positive experience and have fun and do it with your girlfriends and raise some money and have a party.
Oh, raise money. So they of course, they could you know, do miles or just their participation. They get a sponsor for that. Yeah.
And there's pledge programs to be able to bring in some more to the... And the pledge programs all go straight to the sponsors, to the charities, which is wonderful.
And so you've competed in many different triathlons around the country, maybe around the world. I don't know your background as well as I should. I'm sorry, but and you've been successful. Has there been one in Michigan that you've competed in before? I mean, an actual competition? I haven't heard of triathlons in Michigan before.
Well, there are triathlons. Actually, the sport of triathlon is now larger than the sport of running in the United States.
Really?
Thousands of triathlons. So, yes, there are a lot of triathlons in Michigan.
Okay.
And I've done about 150 triathlons altogether, and including 130 all women's. And
oh, he's finishing last.
Oh, more than that, then. I'm thinking about 16 Ironmans and just, dozens of others. So, I'm one of the pioneers and founders of the sport of triathlon and wrote some of the first books and did some of the races, the early races. And
I'm glad to know there's that many really fit people out there.
Or it's just the same group of fit people.
No, exercise isn't an option anymore. It's, the research is in. It has to be part of every part of your day. So if you want to live a healthy and full life, you got to swim and bike and run and stretch and lift weights and fall in love with it.
Well, you're right. It is often, and I keep thinking about this in my exercise regimen of just walking, that's not enough. I try to vary it a little bit with some biking, but I should be doing some weight, some upper body stuff too each day. And that's the only way to really be in good shape is to balance it. I know that for a while, 30 years ago, I was doing some running and training for like very small, like 6 mile runs or something like that. And I entered a couple locally, and then guess what? I had an injury with my Achilles tendon because apparently I was just practicing too much running forwards, and the tendon therefore didn't get the adequate stretching or exercising. Running forward just sort of, I guess, sort of like compresses it at the back of your heel more. And so I was playing tennis one day, which I never do, and running backwards. And that's when the Achilles tendon gave out because it wasn't used to that kind of stretch. So you really got to balance, especially if you become senior citizen age, your exercise exercises. But you got to keep at it too. So thank you for bringing this, helping to bring and publicize this event to Michigan for women, all women age 14 or older, right?
Yep, and it's for every age and size and fitness level and.
It looks like physically challenged is a category of competition. So you could have people in wheelchairs too, maybe, or not?
Yeah, we have. I'll never forget the day I was standing on the beach and a woman with one leg came up and said, "Gee, Sally, will you do the first part of the swim with me? It's my first triathlon." And I'll tell you, she hopped on one leg with complete balance into that swim and just took off and smoked me. So,
less friction in the water, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And if cancer survivors can do it, any woman can do this.
Yeah. Well, it's a great event for a great causes. In fact, we're talking here, and we've just been we're going to conclude now, Sally. But we really appreciate your phone call in to us. Where are you competing next? Do you have something before this?
Yep, I'm going to do all 8 races that are part of the Trek Women Triathlon Series around the country. So, if they can't make the Michigan event, hopefully we can see. See your listeners in Ohio, or maybe even in Disney World in Florida at the end of the season, or Palm Beach, California. I'm from California, so we'd love to have everybody come.
Well, we really appreciate your involvement in this and letting us know about it, because it is in the nearby area. The event, again, folks, is the Trek Women Triathlon Series, and Monroe, Michigan is going to get the event on Sunday, July 18th. Starts early, 7:45 a.m. Watch the sun come up over Lake Erie and Monroe.
It'll already be up. I'll just, that much I know.
I don't get up in the morning.
The last thing on your mind, too. Yeah. Oh, there's the sun. I got to run.
But, folks, it's free. And if you just want to find out more about triathlons or about the event itself or how you might participate, American Cycling Fitness, that's a Trek bike store in Royal Oak on Woodward, somewhere near 12 Mile, mm-hmm. coming up this Wednesday starting at 6:30 p.m. That's free. So go and meet Sally Edwards, Hall of Fame triathlete. I see.
Good. I look forward to meeting everyone.
Great. Thanks so much for calling and being on the WHFR Journal.
Uh-huh.
Good luck to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we'll continue on with the journal.
It was inspiring, huh?
It was.
She was inspiring.
Yeah. She's been doing this. She wrote the early book. Wow. That's kind of impressive.
And I didn't realize how many people were involved in triathlons, you know, that it's more popular than running. It makes sense, like you're saying, to cross train.
Absolutely.
You know, you get injuries doing the same activity over and over again.
Well, actually, I've noticed a decline in, I mean, I think there's still a Detroit Marathon, which it used to be, Free Press, Detroit and Windsor, but they had some trouble with crossing the border because the security issues. So I'm not sure you can still, it used to be real great because you'd run back through the tunnel.
Right.
Right.
You go over on the bridge and you come back from the tunnel. But I think they have to check passports, so it really slows down your time now. But
they do have that easy pass lane, though.
That was funny, Jay.
If you've cleared it ahead of time.
Oh, Jay, you guys. All right. Anyway, it was very inspirational.
Yes.
And I think that the three different events, I mean, I'm not making fun of ADD, but for me, I have a very short attention span. Doing different things would really be more... You know, but I'm a guy,
so I
can't.
More focused, and it seems like those lengths are all, you know, possible. It isn't such an extreme. Sure,
yeah.
You know, 3 miles running. And
okay, how about that swimming?
Walking. Boy, I don't know about that in the lake, but carry on.
I'm exhausted right now.
I know.
just thinking about it.
Well, we're running out of time, so yeah.
We wanted to mention last week you brought up the question, and we've done our research, we've done our homework. Well. 2 minutes on the internet, but we raised the question. We mentioned that Andy Dillon, first of all, had to have, or he submitted, I don't know what he had to have, it says here 15,000 signatures is required, with an affidavit of identity. Are you who you say you are?
Right. He just doubled it.
Yeah.
15? I'll get 30.
But the deadline, which we weren't sure about, is May 11th. So today is the 7th, folks.
That's
only 4
Tuesday.
Days away, next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. So in terms of next week, you only have a little while. And they say up to 30,000 can be filed to cover the minimum signature requirement. And that should be enough unless you've really got a bogus signature petition campaign going on. The petition must be signed by at least, this is for governor, 100 registered electors in each of at least one half of the congressional districts in the state. Oh,
that's a road trip.
It's a math problem.
Yeah, it's a math.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, that's a road trip because you have to go, repeat that. You have to go to at least half.
At least 100 signatures of registered electors. That means you've registered to be a voter.
Right.
In at least half of the congressional districts. Now, how many do we have?
Oh, 2 minutes more on the internet. I'll be right back.
50, 60, 100. We've got the 15th district here.
Right.
The Gino Polidori represents us to Lansing. And so I would guess 30 to 50 in that range. Oh, sorry. Well, we can look that up. But if you're an independent candidate, I just thought I'd mention this because it's on the information here from Department of State in Lansing, who you have to file it with. If you're an independent candidate without a political party affiliation, you want to run for governor. Now, you don't have to be in the primary because independent candidate doesn't have to go through the primary thing. So if you're not a Democrat and you're not a Republican, but you just want to be an independent or form your own party, the party of me or something, whatever, you have to have that affidavit of identity again and a qualifying petition bearing a minimum of 30,000 valid signatures by 4 p.m. on July 15th. Now, that's for the November election.
Right.
Well, that's not fair.
But the more time? Can you have more time?
No. It's not fair requiring 30,000, and it only takes 15,000, of course, to get onto the primary.
Primary is a big difference.
But once you win the primary, you're on the ballot for November. You don't need another petition.
Right.
You see?
But
is that unfair to independent candidates? I think it is.
See, and I don't. I think they have a lot more time. They have, what?
Two more months.
Two solid months to get more signatures. Okay. So, okay. I mean, you could argue that it's not fair for the Democrats and the Republicans that have to get in the primary that they have less time. I see your point, but I think it's a wash.
And again, the petition must be signed for the independents. This is the same by at least 100 registered electors in each of at least half of the right. districts. But they want twice as many signatures.
Right.
Twice as many, you know, so 30,000 valid. And you can submit up to 60,000, though, to allow for half of them being bogus or somehow scratched out. That doesn't seem fair to me. Just don't think that's fair. And I know some people, and I was taught in high school that the two-party system, God bless it, it's red-blooded American, and that's why we're such a great country, because we have two parties that are very similar and are often gridlocked, and that's what keeps us American. And that's just bogus, folks. It's not in the Constitution.
Absolutely.
It's not in the Constitution. It was never thought to be important to any of the founding fathers. And I think my civics professor, all due respect, he's probably no longer with us in high school, they were teaching something that is part of popular culture. And I hear Fox News say it all the time. Well, we've got a great country because we really only have two parties, and we keep all those other parties out. Well, you know, the Dems and Republicans don't speak for everybody in this country. And you say, well, they're the liberals and the conservatives. And what else is there? Well, duh, there's, first of all, there's parties that are more concerned about a single topic, like the Green Party. Well, really about 10 different issues, but they're oriented towards, besides social justice in general, and you have to talk to them to get that defined, although we hope to cover the U.S. Green Party National Convention in Detroit here on the WHFR Journal. Somehow we'll get down there and get to some of their sessions and find out the inner workings. There's nothing wrong with being a single or a primarily specially focused political party in terms of themes. But in terms of conservative and liberal, we do have our credentials and we are registered. Dennis, Amy, and myself, we're going to try to make it up in 2 weeks from Saturday, from tomorrow, to the state convention for the Libertarian Party. Libertarian Party of Michigan, third largest political party in the United States. And they have hard-fought positions that are considered liberal, and also hard-fought positions that are considered conservative. Their overall belief is in freedom, personal freedom. But the way to do that, they feel, is to take certain positions that are called liberal or even progressive that the Democrats have, and also take certain positions that the conservatives have. And in fact, how much do they agree with the Tea Party people? They're not really a party. Not a lot, because the Tea Parties are usually arch-conservative, if not just conservative in general. In other words, the Tea Parties agree more with Republicans than they do at all times with Libertarians. But there's nothing inconsistent with the Libertarian Party. They have very consistent beliefs on issues, recommendations, but they are liberal and conservative all in one party. So I'm just saying, folks, it seems from my years of experience and training and so on, it doesn't make sense to me why we have to disenfranchise the independents, except the Dems and Republicans want to do it so they have less competition.
Oh, absolutely.
So that people don't know about other options. And I think in America, if you believe in freedom of choice and liberty, that you should have equal chances to find out what the different political parties, and for that matter, independent candidates that are not even part of a party. You know, that was always taught to, oh, you got to be in a political party to run for office. Absolutely not. That's not in the Constitution anywhere.
No, but to win, you do. You know what I mean?
Well, the pragmatic fact is that the two main parties have access to the media. They have access to fundraising.
Yeah, money. That's the bottom line right there.
And they are able to get the media attention, not here at WHFR. That's why we're making an effort with our alternative approaches to cover the things the big commercial stations don't cover. Why? Because they're out there. And people need to know. They can reject them right away if they want to. But if you don't know about them enough to make a fair choice, well, there you go. So anyway, that's the deadline, folks. You want to be part of the Democrat or Republican nomination process. 15,000 at least valid signatures by next Tuesday at 4 p.m. So that's probably bogus. But we don't know how many will turn them in. We don't know how many are being signed maybe over the weekend. Mother's mm-hmm. Day, if you go out somewhere, you might see some people
trying to get petition
signed for one Republican or Democrat or the other. But the independent candidates, they have until July because they're not in the primary. But we're going to talk about them as soon as we find, in fact, after the Libertarian Party convention, we'll know who their candidate for governor is going to be. And we'll get them on the show, too. What the heck? Even because I think it's unfair that the primary becomes a platform, free advertising for just Dems and Republicans, because they're spending all that money, they're doing all the campaigning for the primary, and then, wow, do they have name recognition going in September, whereas the Green Party, Libertarian Party, other parties, other independent candidates, they're not out there for all these months.
So if I can do the math right here, so what you're saying, May 22nd is, in fact, the Libertarian Convention.
The 28th. Right.
And they will name their candidate. Mm-hmm. That candidate has to start at that point gathering names for the petition to turn in by July, unless they're doing it ahead of time. You just follow me? So they have even less time based on the party's choice of the convention. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have to get
right.
30,000, mm-hmm. but they have less time because they don't know who it's going to be until that point, unless they're already actively doing
this.
Yeah,
now, I thought there was an exception to that.
See, I did too.
Number, because the Libertarian Party and the Green Party have been, and they received a certain percent of the previous election for president, mm-hmm. when a lot of people go vote, that they wouldn't need as many signatures. So we'll find that out. So there is an advantage of having an ongoing political party.
Right.
And again, I don't think that's fair to the candidate who just wants to be an independent. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says you can't just run without a political party behind you, except for all the pragmatic problems of being in a system that's really stacked against
it. It is, and it's weighted heavily toward the Dems and Republicans.
But that's what we think. Many Dems and Republicans, including probably Morris Goodman and John Connolly, our friendly local op-ed writers, Republicans, Democrats, on the issues here in the Press and Guide almost every week, and God bless them. That's a wonderful thing to do. But they probably like the system we have now because they're part of it.
Right.
And they have access.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I just thought we would finish up. There's only a couple minutes to go, another minute actually here, and unless Amy or Dennis want to jump in. Amy, happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'll wait till Sunday to tell you.
You have at least one daughter. Her name is Katrina?
We have four.
Four.
The one in
so soon.
So soon. But Katarina is
Katarina.
The
Katarina,
one you
looked over her
heard
paper.
Of a mm-hmm. yeah an English paper and I'm wearing an original design by my youngest Annabelle.
Oh my gosh, Annabelle, and it has her name.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
that was a present. So anyway, I hope you have a
thank you very
great
much.
Celebration. The rest of the year, it's work like a dog, but mothers get one day.
I can't now since naming two, and then Britt and Julia. So
all right,
go ahead.
That's right. Before 2 o'clock,
I'm
before
sure
the podcast
proud,
runs out.
Very proud of our new WHFR news director.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That'll be on the cake.
Yeah.
Really?
I hope so.
Yeah.
What cake?
Yeah, I was going to say another one. I got you.
It is WHFR Dearborn, and we're waiting for the arrival of our blues DJ, Joanne, and I'm sure she'll be here in a minute. There's always parking issues, and it's raining out there today. And so I just think I'm going to continue. I know the podcast is going to cut off in another minute or two here. But I thought it was interesting, and maybe we can talk about these things in the future. The city is considering an artist community. They had a group of people in East Dearborn. We got some vacant buildings over there, folks. They're thinking if they can get a grant and be part of one sort of art space project that Wendy Holmes, who's an art space vice president of consulting and resource management, thinks that East Downtown Dearborn would actually be a great to set up the kinds of living and working spaces for artists. We don't support our artists, one of our unsung heroes of a good culture, enough certainly. So that's a good idea. That's the headline story, in fact, in Wednesday's Dearborn Times Herald this week, and I think that's great. Here's the bad pun, finishing up now because the blues show is getting started in just a moment. Hotel uncertainty, that is the owners, who's going to own